get started in the first chapter of this book of Jeremiah on this evening. I want to pray, and then we're going to look at this chapter and go through some of these verses, 19 verses in this first chapter of Jeremiah. I try to be clear, and I'll try to speak up. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to come together and to look in your holy and righteous word. You didn't leave it just for us to ignore it. You left it for us so that we could grow by it, be in it, be strengthened and encouraged, chastised, guided, be able to understand what your will is. I ask that you help us to just conform to your word. And when feelings want to override feelings that we may have, give us the understanding that you say that this is not righteous, it's not of you, that we should come to the light as you are the light. We can be strengthened and grow. Thanking you for your word, Lord, I ask that you help us in all that we do when it's in accordance to your word. If we should walk outside your word, I ask that you chastise us, Lord, as a father who loves his children. Help keep us in the way. May your Holy Spirit increase in us, and may we be found dying more and more each day unto self. I ask these things in your precious Son, Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen. I've already said we're going to be looking in the first chapter of Jeremiah. On last week, if you were with us, we gave an introduction to Jeremiah, talked about the tone. And so I'm just going to say a few things about it, because some of the things that I'll say tonight, if you've listened or go back and listen, you'll find that I've said some of these things before. But just a little bit, in case this is a first time with you joining us for this teaching of Jeremiah. The tone of this entire book primarily is very serious, and it's sad. It's serious because we're looking at a time where God's indignation has come to a point where he's now ready to act. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? When you look at Jeremiah, particularly from one chapter to another, you might feel like it's one day. And perhaps a chapter might be dealing with an incident or a situation or a scenario, but it's the culmination of years. We talked about the time of the kings. You want to go back and start looking in Samuel, particularly maybe 2 Samuel, and reading on up through the Kings and the Chronicles. And you'll see that years have transpired, a little over 400 years. So when I say God's indignation has reached that point, let's understand something. He has been rather merciful. Why do I keep saying that? I keep saying that because people say that the God of the Old Testament is mean. Well, they haven't read God's word for the understanding of how to live. They haven't read the word of God to be corrected. They haven't understood. So we want to look at God's word as he tells us we should look at it. So yes, God's indignation has come to a point where he is ready to exact his judgment. Jeremiah prophesied for a little better than 40 years, and his prophecy would start with Josiah. We'll see that tonight, and went through about several kings: Mattaniah, whose name would later be changed to Zedekiah. So the tone is very serious. My title for this evening is Jeremiah's Call. I want to put a colon there because I feel like there's some more to it besides Jeremiah's Call. Jeremiah's Call, colon, the weight of God's word. Yeah. Jeremiah's Call, the weight of God's word. Let's see how this the word of God pans out tonight. I'm going to do some reading. We're going to go back. We're going to look at it. This is Jeremiah, first chapter. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, the priest, that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. 6th verse. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whosoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. 9th verse. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came unto me a second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a ceiling pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, Out of the north, and evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem and against the walls thereof, round about and against the cities of Judah. 16th verse. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, and worship the works of their own hands. Verse 17. Thou therefore, Jeremiah, gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, against the peoples of the land, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. There's 19 verses here. Go ahead and tell you, we'll probably be looking a little bit in Deuteronomy. Probably be looking at maybe a little bit of Isaiah. And if not, then I'll probably refer to some other passages in the scriptures. Jeremiah's call, the weight of God's word. Let's begin. First verse. Here we go. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. Well, we understand, as we were talking on our introduction on last week, Jeremiah was both priest and prophet. So there are some who, again, believe that this Hilkiah is the same Hilkiah when we were looking at when Josiah had begun to reign and the book of the law was found in the temple by Hilkiah, and Huldah gave she read it. Some believe that that is his father. I tend to lean that way. Some believe it's another Hilkiah, but we understand that this Hilkiah, whether it was one or the other, was priest. But we see that Josiah, no, I'm sorry, I'll try to get these changed right. Here we go. Jeremiah, he's also a prophet. When we think of the prophet, I don't want to slow down because I want it to be like I'm talking. And if we get a little fired up, we just get a little fired up. Because this is the word of God. Priest would be someone, I'm sorry, the prophet will be someone who is ordained by God, or we could say like anointed, if you will, to give God's word to the people. When we think of prophecy or prophets, a lot of times people will think someone who would just tell the future. We need to understand something, that the prophet will proclaim what thus saith the Lord. Prophet also sometimes would enact or give a visual, if you will, in how he or she would either live or portray something that God wanted them to understand, to stick out emphatically in their mind. Talked about, I think, Ezekiel a little bit on last week. Why am I talking about this? As I mentioned, as we go through this book of Jeremiah, there are going to be some prophets. There could be some prophets who God did not call. We see specifically in this chapter that God has called Jeremiah. He caused Jeremiah to go and to give this heavy, heavy, weighty message unto a people who will not ever want to hear it. Listen, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priest, they were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. Benjamin would be on the south side, if you will, of Judah. Now, we've talked about the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. So we're going southern and going even a little further south. Okay. Now, this Anathoth, as opposed to Benjamin, was, how can I say, 2 to maybe 3 miles north of Jerusalem. It was kind of border to a wilderness, if you will. But let's go on and get to some of these scriptures here. Second verse. To whom, this is speaking of Jeremiah, the word of Jeremiah and so forth. To whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. So we get some history. We get some names. And while sometimes it can be cumbersome to read in the scripture about names and about son of this and son of that, it is very important for us to know, because we can follow and go back and trace some of these things. In the 13th year of Josiah, blessed king, king of righteousness, who was born to a father who was wicked. Ammon was wicked. We understand that God's word is coming to Jeremiah. It's coming to Jeremiah when 13th year. Now, remember I said a lot of this is going to be historical, but there's some meat in here. When we get to it, we'll try to pound that thing out some. See, the beginning of his reign, and he goes through the reign of Mattaniah, Zedekiah. So I wrote down a little note here. I said, sometimes I'll give years, sometimes I won't. Tonight I want to. Some believe that Jeremiah started in the year 626 BC or 627 BC. And leading on up or going up through the time of about 587 BC, when you'll have one of the deportations. Okay, so he's going through the time, starting out, let's say he was young. We're going to see that in just a few verses here, but maturing definitely through the time of his call to prophesy. Let's move on to this third verse. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Did I not just give a few dates and talk about that? Let's talk just briefly about this again, right? Eliakim was, let's say, the original name of this Jehoiakim that we see. Okay. when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, would take control over Judah and the various people, he would change names. It was as if he was putting his stamp on them to say that I'm in control. I will even change your name. Lord willing, as we go through this book, we're going to see that Jehoiakim was extremely wicked. And he was probably of the kings to whom Jeremiah prophesied. It was probably the one that was most wicked towards him, most evil toward him. But anyway, we'll be looking at some of that, Lord willing. So we see that he prophesies through these various kings. Let's get on through verse 4 and 5. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Okay, no, I want to slow down a little bit. I say this is the call. Jeremiah is learning here. There's a specific duty that he has. Right? So in the beginning of these, when we look at sort of this first 3-4 verses here, the duty is not under one king. The duty is under several kings. You can remember the last few verses that we read. God says it's going to be through to the kings, to the priests, and to the people of the land, right? Jeremiah's message, first of all, it is not his own. It's God Almighty's. It's God's message to Jeremiah for the people. Jeremiah is going to have to be strong as we look at this. Listen at it again. I'm going back to verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, when we look at this, I was looking at a few commentaries, 2 or 3. And most of them that I looked at, I say most, like it sounds like a lot. You'll see that sometimes people, when they talk about this right here, it'll seem one of them explained it as a consciousness that Jeremiah had, a divine consciousness, and understood that he was supposed to reign and give God's word at this point. There was at least one that I looked at that talked about a dialogue, as if the word appeared to him. This is how I'm inclined to believe. When I understand that the scripture said God changes not, and I look at the scriptures and I say, when it even speaks of the Messiah, it says the same yesterday and forever. And when I look at this and say that the word of the Lord came, I'm reminded of a scripture that says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I believe that's in the Gospel of John, the first chapter. You can go look at it if you want to. But there's other reasons that I want to say that, I will say that I believe this. I believe that this was what we call often the pre-incarnate Christ, before we understand that he was born in Bethlehem. I believe that this is, the Messiah coming unto this prophet, giving him instruction. You say, Gary, that doesn't make sense. Really? Really? You think God has to explain everything to us? I think it's Deuteronomy 29 and 29 when it says the secret things belong to him. Do you think we can totally understand all the things? Lord, have mercy. He's not bound by the way we think. Listen at this. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, came unto me speaking, came unto me declaring, came unto me instructing. It says, before I formed thee in the belly. We talk about this belly. It's like you might think of what seems to be to grow when a woman is with child. You might think of that, but inside the womb grows a life. Jeremiah, Lord have mercy. I knew you before you knew yourself. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. I knew who you were. I knew who you were. I knew what my plans were for you. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, before you entered into what we call this world and began to breathe, I set you apart. I sanctified you. I set you apart, and I'm giving you a job. I'm going to give you a job, and you must perform it. I sanctify thee, and I ordain thee a prophet to the nations. You say, Gary, you're getting all excited about this. Do you know that if Jeremiah were living in our day, there's a strong chance that he might be aborted? Yeah. Especially if people would know that he was coming to speak the words of Yahweh God Almighty. So I'm saying, this, you want to think about this? It's like, I ordained that you would go and you're gonna speak my word. You're gonna speak with like the scepter of the tongue, the judgment, my judgment to a people who had my word, to a people who will not want to hear it, but I've set you apart for this. And this is what you were created to do. Remember on last week, I said that God said Jeremiah would not be able to marry. Well, it's as if, you know, Jeremiah, in a sense, is going to be married to God. You're going to perform my will. So I sanctified you, and I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. Now, it's very interesting here. We know that he's going to speak to the people of God. We know that his message is going to be very stern. We know that his message is going to it's going to make the people mad. But I think it was on last week also, and I said, when we get around, I think it's chapter, I want to say 46, I can't remember, somewhere in 40s, and as far as the chapter's concerned, he's going to start speaking to the other nations, right? Why? Because God created heaven and earth. He created all the nations, but he wanted his people to go be an example of his law, of his righteousness. And God's going to deal with the other nations too. So Jeremiah is not only going to speak to the people who've rejected God, he's going to speak to the surrounding nations at that time. Let's continue on. And there's only 19 verses tonight. Jeremiah has a response. Does it not look like there's a dialogue that's taking place in this? So when we say that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, just imagine. You say, Gary, we don't know this for sure. Well, I'm looking at what these words say. Can you still hear me? I think I might have. I'm glad you can still hear. The word of the Lord comes to him and he begins to talk to him. And I think that the scripture probably doesn't tell us every exact word, but we get the crux of the message, or we get the main points of what the duty was. It makes me think of Paul. When Paul was blind, he said, Gary, you're going off the subject. Well, can I make a comparison, if you will? When Paul was blinded, I think you see that you see it mentioned several times in Acts, but anyway, I'll just go it this way. When Paul was blinded, then he said that he spent time with Christ. It's like, wouldn't you like to know what he said? To think that he's telling him so much. Lord have mercy. Well, understanding what this duty is, Jeremiah's response is found here. We see this in verse 6. Jeremiah says, oh Lord God, I can't speak. First objection. And then he says, I'm a child. I can't do this. I would say you are correct, Jeremiah. In and of yourself, you can't do it. In and of yourself, you're going against kings. In and of yourself, you're going against false prophets. In and of yourself, let me say, you would be going against all of the people, a people who have had a good 400 some odd years to get it right, a people who had a good king in Hezekiah, a people who had a good king in Josiah, but they keep turning around, keep turning around, keep turning around, and walk away from God's blessings. Remember Deuteronomy? I set before you blessings and I set before you a cursing. I say, God is indignant and it's come to the point. Say, you know what? What else could I do for y'all? You don't want to hear it. So let you have it your way. You're going to be taken captive. Jeremiah says, I can't speak. He says, I'm a child. There's a response here. There's a response. Wait a minute. Before I go on into the response, remember, Jeremiah is really not the only person that we see in the scriptures who says he can't do something or doesn't feel like it. So the scriptures will show us what some would say, the way they were thinking, what their response reactions. Or if you think about Moses, I can't do it. God's like, okay, well, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm gonna let your brother speak for you, but you're still gonna do it. You look at Gideon. Gideon's like, hey, can you show me a sign? That one might be a stretch, but this is not the first one. You also see, and I go back because I didn't mention it before. Well, you'll see some individuals who, before they were born, had a responsibility. John, who we call the Baptist, we see he even had a responsibility. David will talk about before he was born, God knew him in the secret parts. Even Isaiah says, you know, when I was in the womb, you determined that my mouth would be like a sword. I think it's Isaiah 49. Go look at Isaiah 49, first few verses. What's my point? We see patterns in the scripture. When God gives a charge, it's best to be found doing it. But you know what? I want to go back just a little bit and look at verse 4? He says, before you were even able to give this response to me, he said, I knew you. Does that make sense? There should be some comfort in that. Before Jeremiah, you were able to rationalize in your own strength, because that's what you're doing. You're rationalizing in your own strength. He says, I set you apart and I ordained you. But let's go back. Now we're going to go to verse 7. What's in this dialogue? Because I believe it's a dialogue. I don't believe it's just a consciousness where he's like, oh, okay, I feel like God wants me to do this. No, listen. But the Lord said unto me, don't say I'm a child. Don't say I'm a child. Now, this word child, I might be mispronouncing this, is Nar. A Nar? I've said before that in the Hebrew language, they have several words that will mean child. It doesn't give a specific age where you might think 5, you might think 8, you might think 13. But what it will do, it will kind of give a time frame or a phase in which a person, a child, has developed or is growing. It can also mean youth or young man. So it is believed, because when some scholars, the ones that I've looked at, the most of them, they believe that he was around probably the age of 20. There's been some that I've even heard or read, I believe he might have been maybe around 17. Whether it's 16 or whether it's 20, let's say that he's probably a young man. Why? Scholars will offer up the fact that 40 some odd years past, say he's probably 60 something years old. Well, can I prove it? I can't prove it, but what we want to know is that he was chosen at a young age. Now we say, well, why is that a young age? Even the priest, right? You'd find that they would begin to serve, I want to say it's around the age of 30. So in remember, this is a cultural thing. So we're not thinking West over here in the United States of America. We want to understand, how did the people, the recipients of this letter, first understand what it was talking about? So that will help us, I think, if we're not let's say first recipients of this letter, to better understand. It's like, don't be talking about you're a child, right? This is verse 7 again. But the Lord said unto me, say not I'm a tree. Can you mute this, please? Say not I'm a child, For thou shalt go, thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Okay. Well, it's like you don't get to determine. You don't get to dissuade me, God Almighty, from what I've already determined that you're going to do. You'll find that Moses wanted to change what God had done. One particular point, I think it's around 32. Is it Exodus? I think it's around chapter 32, somewhere around there. Like, you don't say that. I know what I've done, and I know what I mean for you to do. And you will say, hey, listen, I'm speaking as in the voice, in the sense of God Almighty. You're going to say what I tell you to say. You're going to have certain feelings, and you're going to have to wrestle with that. But you look to me. You understand what I'm telling you. Listen, if we can get this, saints, if we can get this, that when we focus on what God says and be obedient, and to be in communion with God. I am not talking about a little scripture a day. I am not talking about just the coming together in a group. While yes, that is good, I'm talking about being in his word so that his word can be in us. Does that make sense? Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone. In other words, you must eat so that the physical man can be sustained. But there is something else that is eternal. And when God breathed in Adam, he breathed in him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He was to be eternal. He was not supposed to die. That's why when you read in Genesis, you see these people living for centuries. Yes, you do. But when he sinned, Lord God said that the man, he said he will surely die. Truly die. What's the point that I'm making, lest you think that I've strayed away? It's like, if we are going to understand anything from this, you know, I'm not a priest. I'm not a prophet. This Jeremiah was to be in communion with God for the task. Lord have mercy. We need to be in the communion with God for the task of living, for the task of being obedient. We have families. We have friends. We have to be obedient.
We have to be obedient. And sometimes, listen,
I say almost every day, our feelings will come inside and start to try to dictate what we want to do, what we ought to do. God told Jeremiah, don't say I'm a child. You're going to say what I say. God, listen, God's not concerned with our feelings that it's going to change him. He's not concerned with it. Gary, this means, do you want the truth or not? He's God. We're not God. We think we're God. Isn't that what the serpent, Nahash, I think, said, you'll be like God.
Let's get real. Let me go back to this. Gary, you're not even teaching the text. Yes, I am. So Jeremiah said, I formed you. Right? He says, you're going to say what I tell you to say. You're going to be diligent to do it. And you're going to be a voice not only to the people who've rejected me, they're supposed to be mine, but they've been wicked for centuries. You're going to be a voice of the nations. I'm going to have you indict, and they've condemned themselves, and I'm going to have you tell them what's going to be. So listen, so you're going to say what I say. Listen at what he says in the 8th verse. It says, Jeremiah, you can't be afraid of their faces. Don't be afraid of their faces. He says, for I am with thee. That's so beautiful. We paused on that. Jeremiah, I'm with you. I'm with you now. I'll be with you then. But I stress some things here. I stressed obedience. Dre, don't you turn 59. Isaiah 59. He says, be not afraid of their faces, for I'm with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Now, long as you're obedient,
and your life does not become a practice of sin. If you do, you must repent. True repentance, because people will say things. Jesus talked about people who say things. They call me Lord, Lord, but they don't do what I say. Okay? All right? Now, can you read this 59th verse? Well, I'm saying this. I'm saying this because the scripture speaks of a separation that can take place. We saw it when I've just mentioned, even alluded to Genesis with Adam. Now, first human son of God, right? Okay. So he caused a great rupture, a breach between the relationship, and he died. Now, I'm saying, Jeremiah, you have to be obedient. So you want me to be with you? You be obedient. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. My instruction, my teaching, what I'm giving you will sustain you as bread sustains the physical body. Even more important, my instruction, my grace. If you want to go to Titus 2:11, you see, the grace of God has appeared to all men. Grace appeared, and the word of God came, has appeared to all men, teaching us something, instructing us something, giving us the wisdom of God, giving us the nourishment. What does it say?
Behold, Yahweh's hand is not shortened that it cannot save.
Read.
Neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear.
Read.
But your iniquity have separated between you and your God.
Now, this is coming from Isaiah. Isaiah was prophesying around the time of Hezekiah, right? Hezekiah, prior to Josiah, prior to Jeremiah coming on the scene. What the verse says is, your sin has caused the separation between the communion that you had with God. Your sin, your continual walking outside of his will. Now, when Adam had communion with God and he walked outside of it willingly, we see that he tried to hide, put fig leaves on him, and God came and he dealt with him. You remember that? Yes, let's go back to this scripture here. I'm in the eighth verse. God tells Jeremiah, he said, I don't want you to be afraid of their faces because they're going to be looking at you real stern. I mentioned Jehoiakim from the third chapter. Jehoiakim is going to have him put in prison. I have some people that want to beat Jeremiah. He's going to be down in some mud and pitiful conditions where he could probably get sick, have disease and so forth. So don't be afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee. Often, it's going to look like Jeremiah is not delivered. This is the thing. When an individual or nation is obedient to God, there'll be times that they have to endure suffering. But if you look at Paul, we're not going to turn there. If you look at Paul, 8th chapter of Romans, starting somewhere around the 29th verse, he will actually mention peril, nakedness, different things. He says, nothing going to separate me from God. When we look at how the young men were thrown into the fiery furnace, nothing's going to separate me from God. When you look at Jesus having been beaten all night, Pilate's before him, he says, nothing's going to separate me from God. We have to get to the point, if we're not there, that nothing's going to separate me from God. Because though you destroy this body, that's all you can do. Stephen standing there being stoned, and Stephen knew that that's all they could do. You can destroy this body, but you can't destroy my soul, because I'm hidden in Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who sits on the right hand of the Father, who rose from the dead. And if you then be risen with Christ, you've got to seek those things that are above. You can't seek those things where rot, moth, and rust does corrupt. Why? Because heaven and earth, Lord have mercy, it's going to pass away. Lord have mercy, but the word of God, it shall stand forever. So Jeremiah, with you, but you're going to have to endure some things. I've called you for a time such as this. Have you ever seen faces that look like they would take you out, slap you, spit on you, slander your name? Jeremiah had to be close to the Father and trust in Him. When you're going through something, if you abandon the Father, then I'm like, how well did you know Him? I'm not going to say that you didn't know Him, because I believe you can know the Father and abandon Him. But to trust in what He said. To trust in it, said you can't really hold on to everything. You can't hold on to everything else and hold on to the Father. You can't. Not that it is when it takes the place of the Father, you can't do that. You can't do that. John 2:15. Gospel, First John 2:15. We're not gonna go there. Look at it though. Look at it one day. Look at it. You got to trust in what He says. So I'm going to quote another verse, and we're going to go back to this. There's a verse that many people say. It says, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. And I've heard that verse so much that even in my younger days, it got on my nerves. I didn't even want to hear anybody talk about it. I think even songs have been made about it. When the scripture refers to no weapons formed against thee shall prosper, it doesn't mean that you're not going to have battles. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be in warfare. It means that ultimately it's not going to be victorious. Do you not know that martyrs have died for the cause of the kingdom? Martyrs have died for the cause of the kingdom. And the word martyr, if I'm not mistaken, it's a witness. Do you witness? Are you really witness? Are you going to die for the kingdom? Whether you die of a horrible death or just die to self and live righteously in your circle, in your sphere. So does it mean, like, so you hear all this mess on television about this prosperity stuff, like you're supposed to be rich, like you're not supposed to get sick, like you're not even supposed to go to the bathroom and defecate. And if you do, it's a pearl on the inside of it. That is not what the scripture is talking about. This is kingdom warfare. They don't even sound right naturally. People are going to go over to a country and they're going to fight. And then, like, when it's not a cannon, those big old tanks shoot out something. Cotton candy comes out and floats to you, and then you just take a piece of it and eat it. Don't that sound ridiculous? Come on now. All right, let's get back to this. So Jeremiah says, don't be afraid of their faces, for I'm with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, I'm at the 9th verse, and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I've put my words in thy mouth. Now, this sounds like, He was touched physically. This is one of the other reasons why I believe this is the pre-incarnate Christ coming. And some people will say, you know, well, this is metaphorical or whatever. I don't think so. When you see this, we might think of, how can I say, it's Isaiah 6, where Isaiah says, I'm a man of unclean lips. I think it's okay, definitely, to go and think of that. But I want to stress something here a little bit more before we go on through these chapters. Let me get a look at what this time is. Said Jeremiah would need to be close to the Lord. Jeremiah would need to be obedient to the Lord. Jeremiah would need to understand that he was with the Lord and the Lord would be with him. This is reminiscent of when Moses was talking in the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy. We're not going to turn there. I said we might turn there. And Moses would tell them of the Messiah that would come in his day. He says, men and brethren, there's going to rise a prophet like unto myself. And you'd see where he says he's going to put his words in his mouth. Well, first of all, even when we're looking at this, we want to understand how God is calling Jeremiah. There is a weightiness to his word. It's going to be very serious. When we get to somewhere in the 20th chapters about these false prophets, we don't read any of this. You don't always read this about the prophets anyway. But Deuteronomy, I think it's the 13th chapter of Deuteronomy. You want to look at the whole 13th chapter of Deuteronomy. Talks about when a dreamer dreams dream and there's a prophet, he goes out and he starts to basically speak his own words and entice you to go serve other gods. This is one of the problems that they had. Remember, this is historical. So we're just jumping into this. He's like, Gary, I don't understand what you're saying. We have been through 1st and 2nd Samuel. We have been through 1st and 2nd Chronicles. We have been through Judges and 1st and 2nd Kings and large portions of the Chronicles. Recently and in the past, well, Pastor Tim taught him. So we're looking at a lot here. He says, I have put forth, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I put my words in thy mouth. Now, one of the things when I was looking at this, I'm just reminded of scripture when the heart and the mouth really seem to be synonymous, and the heart and the mind. The mind, what's our meditation? What's our thought? What's our preoccupation? What's our will? This is one of the reasons why I think of this. I think you see it in Luke and in Matthew. Luke 6:45, Matthew 12:34. Matthew 12:34, you see Jesus, he's chiding or rebuking, I think it's the Pharisees. It might be the scribes and the Pharisees. And he says, out of the mouth, the heart speaks. When you talk out of the abundance of your heart, you speak long enough, and it's what's down in there, it's going to come up. You see other scriptures in the Word of God that will seem to, give the same, same thought. So when I'm looking at this right here, it says, I put my words in your mouth. It's like your heart has to be inclined toward God and his will and his way. It has to be malleable. That means able to be formed, able to be compliant. Well, you say, Gary, you stretch it. I don't think so. I'm going to move on. Listen at what the Word of God tells him. He said, let's go on. See, I have this day set thee over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. It was on last Tuesday evening when I was saying that most commentaries and persons that I've even listened to said, well, it's not sure what Jeremiah's name means. And so I read a little bit, and it talks about in the Hebrew language, you often vowels would be left out. So you'd have sort of like a frame, if you will, of consonants. And so scholars through the course of time, when they put vowels there, depending on the vowels that are inserted or put there, it can mean certain things, and the meaning can change. And when you look at Jeremiah's name, it really looks like it could be all of those. I'll mention three that I think I mentioned on last week. His name could mean the Lord hurls, the Lord crushes, the Lord exalts. When we look at this verse right here, we see that Jeremiah has been called to go speak to these people. And we look at some of these action words right here. Jeremiah, you have a task to do. I'm sending you over kingdoms. Listen, there's some conduct. There's some practices. There's some culture. You've got to tear it down. That's what happens in the body of Christ. When we look through, when we're going through Numbers on the Sabbath or Saturdays, we see how God set his nation up in the beginning. We see how he had his priest there to protect the people and how the people were supposed to be instructed. Jeremiah, I got to get things back right because these people have gone astray. So I need you to tear down some thoughts that are deep rooted in their hearts, because these people went and started serving other gods. People have been burning their children in the fire. People have been doing all kinds of sorts of things, going up and worshiping the sun and the moon and the stars. Jeremiah, the orphans are not being protected. The widows are being mistreated. The weights and the balances are not being just. They're not just. Now, how Can you all represent me as a holy and righteous nation? Jeremiah, 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 I got to get you to go in there and sling with your sling blade. You're going to cut down some weeds. You're going to rake up some rocks. You're going to get it all just so. And they're not going to want to hear it. But when you give the word, it's going to be like building, reestablishing the foundation. If you will listen at it, see, I have set thee this day over the nations, over the kingdom, to root out that which is, let's say, evil and wrong, to pull down those things that have been built up. Yes. I think one time when I was teaching, we said, look at Second Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and about the 4th verse, there are imaginations and things that can exalt itself against God. So these false gods and idols, well, they had idols, right? Idol being the stone, the wood, or whatever it was that they would have. And they would dedicate those stones or those idols for the demons in the spirit world to come in and inhabit that. And those demons could, let's say, do things like bless their crop. The demons would have powers, okay? You remember Moses with his rod and the magicians. So let's not act like we haven't seen that in the scripture. A lot of the people in this universe that we live in, they know that. Didn't Satan tell Jesus he could give him things? Okay, then. So they would dedicate these false idols to that, and the spirit would come in and inhabit and do things for them. So now you got these other forms of, let's say, doctrine, religion, and culture cutting themselves, having sex up on the mountain when God said this is how sex should be between a man and his wife. No incest, no men with men, no women with women, no grown-up people with children, none of that stuff. God said that is outside of my order. You have those things exalting itself against the teaching and the wisdom of God. Does that make sense? And so, Jeremiah, you got to root, you got to tear that down. Yes. Tree, did you turn to 10 and 4? First, if you didn't, it's okay. People can turn to it. He says, oh, yes. So you're going to pull it down and you're going to destroy it. It's got to be destroyed. It's got to be eradicated. Can I say something? So when we read in the scripture about people being stoned, go back to Deuteronomy 13. If you think about it, you can say, well, that seems so bad, but I'm going to tell you something. I get the teaching tonight. Maybe it seems disjointed tonight, but it's going to be okay, because what I'm saying is coming from the word of God, and it can save lives. I want to read something from Deuteronomy, the 13th chapter. I believe it's the 5th verse. So to preface this again, he's talking. Moses was talking to the people about false prophets, and when you get over there, you better not do it. There is a reason, and I know my connection is people being stoned, whether it was children or whatever. Because listen, God gave life, but the demons will take life. They'll shine, if you will, to make things look right, but they'll steal you. They will steal you. And because your heart is so immature, you won't understand what's happening. Okay, I'm going to say it this way. They will rape you without you knowing that you're being raped until it's too late. What do I mean? They will violate you. Bible said, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You see, do you hear what I'm saying? I know it was graphic. Listen now. The scripture is graphic. The scripture is graphic. Death occurs when you get, Jesus says, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Look at what the nation gave in exchange for their soul. So God is like, I got to come in, I'm going to get it right, because I made Abraham a promise. I told him about his seed, and I'm keeping my promise. So we got to get these people out, because they're impeding growth. They are impeding what seems to be my promise. So I get them right. Get it reestablished again so my house can grow. I'm at Deuteronomy, the 13th chapter, and the 5th verse. I think this is what I want. Listen, and that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to trust thee. Thank you. I'm going to go back to that. He has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, sin, slavery, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. That's why, because as long as you let it continue, it's like it will eat away, it will destroy, it will kill. Look at what happened to Adam and Eve. So, we go back to where we were. If I can find my place. He says, I need you to throw down. He says, to build and to plant. Put my word there. You're gonna restore, if you will. Now, I said there's 19 verses. Well, I'm gonna keep speaking. 11 verse. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, this is the 12th verse, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Listen. I think one thing I read said, instead of rod, a branch. We had some teaching on a rod about 5 weeks ago. Anyway, Jeremiah, you understand that I'm with you. You must remain in my word. It's going to be a hard task, but there's many people that my word is to condemn. Listen at this. He says, what have you seen? This is, I guess, might say this is a vision, if you will. As I see a pot, a cauldron. Some people say a cauldron. No, when I think a cauldron, it just makes me think of what they would call that All Saints Halloween celebration. Did I skip? I might have skipped down. No, okay, I think I skipped down. Let's go back to 11. He says, I see a rod of an almond tree. Now the almond tree would be a plant that when spring would come, it would be the first one that would begin to bud, and that would let the people know, okay, well, spring is coming. So that would let people know that, you know, in the time for planting, harvest, and all of that stuff. So it was often referred to as a watcher. So as I said on last week, I said, after all of this time, and I said it even on tonight, God, how can I say, he's reached that point. So it's like the almond tree. It's like, okay, it's his judgment is about to take place. Now, I also said on last week that when we look at this book of Jeremiah that is imminent, and I talked about how even though it would be 40 some odd years of his prophesying, it's imminent because so much time has passed. This thing is budding. This thing is budding. So here it is. 12 verse, then said the Lord, thou hast well seen, I will hasten, hear the word hasten, my word to perform it. I said the weightiness of God's word. This is heavy. It is going to be, and it is a reality for Jeremiah and would be for the people. Listen at the 13th verse, and the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, what's this? And I said, well, Gary, you talking about the word of the Lord. Is he just there in one time? He said, I can't tell you for sure. One of the things that I did not say on last week, I choose to say now because it comes to my mind to say it. This book of Jeremiah is disjointed in the sense that it is not always going to appear to be in chronological order. So one of the things that I've looked at in trying to prepare to begin to teach and expound upon this book, some believe that the book, how can I say, was written, and then there would be different parts added to it. Now, we'll be talking sooner or later about Baruch, who is Jeremiah's scribe, or Emmanuel, I think. I mentioned him out also on last week. So whether that is true or not, I think we'll be able to follow, for the most part, the various things that are happening, because we have the kings, and we'll just tackle that as we get to it. So here we are here. So the word of the Lord, so if the word incarnate coming and leaving and coming and so forth. That would be his prerogative. He says, oh, what do you see? Listen, this is the 13th verse. The word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. This is where I mentioned the cauldron. Now, often when you see a cauldron, it's going to be used to, boil. I think of Eli and Eli's son, Hophni and Phinehas, when in the book of Judges, you see that they would take the portion of the meat, you know, and they would boil and they would stick the forks in and pull it out and eat the part that they wanted for themselves. Well, I want to say Ezekiel even has something pertaining to a pot. Anyway, let's continue on with this. This seething pot of boiling whatever liquid in there, it's going to pour out. Now, we see this about the north. Now, when we look at Babylon, Babylon is really more toward the east. But as the Syrians and the Assyrians would come from the north, and I mentioned last week that the Babylonians would really go and conquer them, I was listening to an individual speak on this. He says, well, you have the Jordan River, which I hadn't read per se about that at that point, but instead of crossing over the Jordan River, they would kind of go around the Jordan River, and if they're going to conquer the other nations, and they did, then it would make sense. So coming from the north, you'd see a lot of their conflict, their warfare coming geographically in that sense. So this is what this seems to be pertaining to. So I read the 14th verse and go on a little further. Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north, an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. Now this evil, it's God's judgment, and it's righteous. God would use nations to exact his judgment on the people. Now, there's sometimes one that just stands out to me is Isaiah. I want to say it's the 13th chapter in the 10th verse, or it might be the 10th chapter in the 13th verse where it talks about the Assyrians. Well, hopefully I didn't confuse that too much. But when God's people would be wicked, he would let nations come in there, but the nations, those neighboring nations, were never really supposed to go beyond what God wanted them to do. So it would be evil because it'd be very calamitous to the people of God. But God, again, he told them from the beginning what would happen. Do you see which one is it, Dre? It's Isaiah 13, 10, and 11. Thank you. Where you see that the Assyrians was used as God's servant. Well, then the Lord said unto me, out of the north, an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdom of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against the walls thereof round about, and against the cities of Judah. What does that mean? We got sounds of kingdom. We got sounds of royalty. We got sounds or words that would, how can I say, imply authority, kingdom. Listen, the word throne. Well, when you have another king from another nation come in, his throne is going to be over your throne. When you have this wall that's supposed to be protecting, you'll find that that wall means nothing to me. They can penetrate your wall some way or another. They can get to you. This is what the God of heaven, Yahweh Almighty, is saying. My wife said it's Isaiah 10 and 12, and she said 13 and 10 fits as well. See, God repeats himself so much. Do you know how many times he had repeated himself to through the various judges and the prophets with all of this stuff? So you can read both of those passages. Verse 15 is saying, your kingdom that was supposed to be a representative of God's judgment in the earth, he's allowing you because of your wicked heart, who strayed away from him. They're going to come in and they're going to be ruling over you. That's what that means. Listen, verse 16. And I, this is still the voice of Yahweh, right? Listen, I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness. who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods and worship the work of their own hands. I've talked about the idols. I talked about the stones. I talked about the wood. I talked about how they were dedicated. They would, what they call, open the nostrils as if to breathe or dedicate the spirit, the ruach, of this demonic spirit in there. And these demonic spirits were offered territories.
And the people of God would not resist it. They would not be obedient. So now they've been turned over to do those things which Romans 1 talks about. They would do those things. Read Romans 1. It goes back even further than this, but it's still applicable. They forsook God. They forsook God and took unto themselves the ways of these other nations, and then they would still act as if they were the people of God because they would frequent the temple. And then you'd have kings come in and bring in abominable things into the temple of God. God said, not so, not so. Jeremiah, go let them know what's about to happen. I'm at verse 17. I'll read verses 17 through 19 again. If you bear with me, we'll be through in a few more minutes. I thank you for your patience. Jeremiah, thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, against the people of the land. They shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Well, it's reiteration of some of the things, but let's touch upon these last few verses. Jeremiah, though you say you're young, though you say you're incapable of bringing forth this message, you will be faint of heart. He didn't say that right here, but we've read Jeremiah. You will think about the day you were born and wonder why. You will. That's your emotions. That's your feelings. You keep your eyes on me. You trust in me. You commune with me. Hear me and obey me. I will bring you through this in spite of the way things seem. You do that. Listen, gird up thy loins. Loins would be, mid area waist and so forth. They would wear garments, and they would be sort of like a belt, if you will, and they would be able to keep the garment. I didn't look up again the inner garment, outer garment, and so forth, but often if they were working in the field, then they could kind of hold it a certain way, but that would help them sometime in warfare. They could kind of do that. Gird it up, be prepared, because you got to do what I'm saying. You got to be faithful. Arise, you can't stay right there, and you're going to speak. Now your heart's got to be right with me to speak what I'm saying, because it's really not your words, Jeremiah. They're going to treat you as if it's your words. Would you tell them what I said? You're going to tell them all. Don't leave any of it out. You got to tell them what I said. So we see it's mentioned again. They're going to have some strong faces. Now, some of these faces will be in authority. Some of these faces would probably be family. Some of these faces, soldiers, what have you. Don't be afraid of them. You know, Jesus told Apollos, you know what, I could speak to my father. He sent legions of angels down here and wipe you out. Now, I'm not saying Jeremiah could do that, but if God wanted to, he could let it happen. You remember what Elijah did? He called down fire and 50 people and their captain was burned up, and 50 people and their captain was burned up again. I know, I went to another text in the scripture. I know I did. In other words, Jeremiah, don't be afraid of the faces. If you're going to be wimpy in front of them, I'm going to make you look stupid in front of them. I'll let you be confused in front of them. Lest I confound thee before them. Say confound. I think we saw that in Genesis, I think chapter 11, when they wanted to build the tower. He said he confounded them by changing up their languages. He said, but you know what? That city of Jerusalem that had the defense wall, that had kings that would not obey me, that was supposed to protect my people, keep my people, while
Babylon would come in and their thrones would be there and the walls would be there. I'm making you like a defensed city, Jeremiah. I'm with you, Jeremiah. They're not going to like you. They're going to want to kill you. They're going to want to put you in prison, Jeremiah. They're not even going to want to give you anything to eat, Jeremiah, but you feast off of me. That's what's going to have to be our stay. That's what's going to have to be our stay. I made you like a defense city. An iron pillar. I think of when the temple was being built, and you see, I forgot the names of the two pillars, Jacob and I don't remember the name of the other one, but they were there. Support. I think of pillars when I think of Samson pushing those pillars down. Support. You're going to be like iron pillars, brazen walls, not easily penetrated against the princes thereof. Because these people, even though they're your family, they're your people, they're not going to want you. Against all of these priests who are going to stand up against you, he said, they're false prophets. If they had stayed in my council, if they had listened, if they had been in my council, if they were a part of the council of what I decide to do. Yeah. He says, you're going to be because of me, they're against me, they're against the words that I'm giving to you. Listen, it says, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. They can't stand up against the truth. People will fight against the truth. But God's looking for people to be faithful to his word. Because a lot of times people will fight against the truth and they'll fight tooth and nail, even if it means their death. Many times they'll know it. Other times their heart has grown so cold that it's as if they can't perceive. But I tell you this, they'll know in the judgment. Look at Luke 16. Yeah, they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. And then he assures them again, I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. I'm going to bring you through. I'll deliver you. Mm-hmm. I think I want to read one verse from Matthew 10. It might be one verse, 10 and 28. It's good to see. I referred to this earlier, where Jesus says not to be afraid. He says, I think in one part, maybe it might be verse 32, if you deny me before others, if you're ashamed of me, rather I'll be ashamed of you for my Father. This is 10 and 28. This is Jesus speaking. It says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And there are many who would decide that hell doesn't even exist because they don't want to think about it. Well, you pick and choose out of the scriptures if you want to, and you can pick the place of hell for yourself. Amazing people say not to be afraid of God. Read Deuteronomy 13. See how it talks about his vengeance. See it. See how it talks about him destroying. See it. Really? Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us a chance to go through your scriptures and help us to understand that we're to be close to you because your word, it stands forever. Thank you for Jeremiah's faithfulness. I ask that you just look down on us and the need that we have. Lord, we help us to turn to you and to trust you, Lord. You don't change, but you require that we change and be conformed to your will and your way. I ask these things in your Son Jesus' name, amen. But open up for discussion. Appreciate you bearing with us probably about a good 10 minutes or so over where I normally prefer to stop, but I wanted to go ahead and complete this first chapter of Jeremiah. Did you? Yes. I think I hear someone.
I say you can keep going. It felt like you was just starting.
You know, I kind of was feeling like that too. I break where the break is. I'm
all right. All right. All right. Oh, all right. This was good. I like the way you went to Isaiah and Deuteronomy. And it was Deuteronomy 13, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, but you know, the reason, it was the reason why these things are being done, and you know, these things are going to happen to people who were in Judah. The people who were called the people of God, is these things have to be done in order to put evil away from among you. And that warfare, how you talked about warfare, and it's like you got an enemy right beside you in your midst. And it's like I think about when they were talking about when Nero, that he'd go through the streets and he'd be dressed up differently.
Oh Lord, yes.
And he'd kill people, he'd stab people and do stuff to them.
Mhm. Rape them in the street.
Yeah, so it's like having the enemy in your midst, and you, like they thought that who was that? The Assyrians? No, it wasn't. They was like, how do they know everything we do? And they said, well, they have Elisha. With them, Elisha.
Mhm.
You felt like there was an enemy in your midst, but that's how serious the warfare is, you know. Yeah. And this is how the Most High works. He can allow you to see inside of a camp. He's going to allow Jeremiah to be over the nations. And you did a what they call a Freudian slip.
What
and
I
you
do?
You say he's going to reign over these kings.
Uh-huh.
You were right, but you changed it and say he's going to prophesy. but if he put him over these kingdoms. He's the King of Kings, right?
Yeah.
So he has an authority that's above all the kings that he's going to prophesy to. So, I mean, it's good because I looked up this verse and this is what caught me. Verse 12. No, it's not verse 12. It's where he talks about the almond tree.
Uh-huh. That's 11.
And I was reading about the almond tree, how it's the first to awaken from winter. Mm-hmm. And he used the almond tree to say there's an urgency, you know, because the almond tree is the first to bud.
Mm-hmm.
After winter. And it's like within its roots, there's an urgency that, okay, now it's time to bloom. And it does it. And he says he's going to see. He's going to watch after his word to perform it. He's going to hasten it. And it's like, and that's the urgency. And you think Jeremiah prophesied, what, over 40 years, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you think, oh, that's a long time. It's not. When your judgment is going to be forever.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a long time. And so he said he's going to hasten to perform it. And it's that urgency by which we should be seeking the people. You know, if we're the first to be awakened from the winter, if we were dead and sleep and couldn't see, but he's awakened us,
mm-hmm.
We should keep with that same urgency. We should feel it all the time. And we should be willing, you know, to say when it's time to say.
Yeah.
So, Tim, what you got to say?
I've been looking up stuff for you.
Okay, what you saying?
We just stay away from it.
Oh, okay.
Plus, I was doing wrong. I was in 14, so I never saw the away anyway.
I don't hear him well.
What I said.
I was asking him about the season pot,
uh-huh.
And one of my versions, it says, King James says, and the face thereof is toward the north.
Yeah.
And then, but I looking at NASB and say a seething pot, a boiling pot facing away from the north. And I was like, is that the same? I'm not reading it right.
You see.
Because one is saying toward the north and it says from the north, but away from the north. And I was asking him if he could look up and see which one was correct or how it was worded.
The Hebrew is from north.
Okay.
The mem is from men.
He probably can't hear you well because your voice
I do. I hear him actually.
I'm glad because I didn't want to have to wax eloquent.
Oh, my word. If you're thinking away, or it could be like opposites in the sense that it's I don't know. I'm just thinking of some other preposition sometimes. So if it's away from it, opposite, but still can come, that actually might be the thought from that translation, though I don't think it's clear as, I guess, toward or from. Does that make sense? No.
I don't know.
Okay.
I just think if the seething pot is the subject.
Right.
And the subject
is the nation.
If the subject is, you know, the face of the pot is seething, and if you were looking at the pot, it's going to be towards the north. If you want to talk about where the seething pot is going, it's going away from the north.
Okay, gotcha.
Right,
okay.
Right. That's what I meant with the opposite thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I probably wouldn't have cared if she hadn't mentioned it, but unless I was looking at two versions. When you're looking at two versions, you know, you want them to have oil in their lamp.
Virgins.
But Gary, you hit on something tonight that has probably kept many men from being great in the sight of God, and they may have grown to have mega churches, groupies, and big salaries. Many people are afraid to tell the truth of God's word. They're afraid of faces. They're afraid that if somebody will take something, withhold something from me that I want, that they have some kind of power over me, that they can cause me to shade God's word like they used to shade the gold coins. So much so that when they weigh the gold coin, it wouldn't weigh as much as it used to weigh. And they start putting ridges on the end of silver dollars and quarters so people would shave the ends, but they would put the ridges on there so you could tell it was shaved. When it comes to the word of God, it's gotten to the place we don't want to tell it. We don't want to say it. They fix it where we can lock you up. We can boycott your job. We can take your children. We can take your property. We can take your life. We can take your influence. We can slander you. But then we go home after being whipped down like a dog in the midst of the street with 30 gangsters with sticks and whips and everything. And you just run around and holler and get beaten. And we go home and we just get in a corner and we do the same thing. And then our family want to do it. We ain't going to like you. You go to a big dinner, you can tell when you walk in the room, they don't want you in there.
Oh.
You can tell that if you come in, it's just like somebody just stood up and just say, you know what, everything you ate was roach infested. You can just see the almost the gag response when you come around. And then when they get ready to have something wonderful and good, you hear nothing about it. I'm telling you now, I remember having family members. We could go and do worship and stuff like that, but they could always come the day before or the day after. So we don't have to be bothered with you. So Gary, that message about fear is always there. We don't keep our eye on the one that we should be afraid of because the magnanimity and the bigness of who he is. If we don't keep our eye on the bigness and the importance of the one whom we are serving in the kingdom, we'll give it up. It's always, if I can't make you give it up through fear, I can try to make you give up your steadfastness and your kingdom fighting rule as a Levite by pleasure. If I can't do it by that, I can get you to do it by boredom. Uh-huh. And if that don't work, I'm not through. I can let you be discouraged. Uh-huh. Lord, I've done all this for you. Lord, didn't you see? I see they were engaged and I failed them, and I'm the only one. I'm the only one left. I got 7,000 I didn't even let you feed. Ain't even never kissed by all. Well, where they at? Lord, that's not your business. Don't be asking me where they at. Don't even fix it right and say, where are they? That's my business.
They had worried Moses so much, he said, Lord, just kill me out of hand.
Well, I just need you to know that you might think I don't ever have that fear thing come up. I just learned to extend it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I know what you're trying to do. I know what you're trying to do. It's like,
despise the shame, Ann?
Yes.
Okay.
I have to walk the fine line between being aggressive and not, because I had a guy come at me last night talking about anal sex with this guy he called his brother. I don't play that.
What?
You didn't hear that guy when I was at work?
No.
Joking? Did you hear me say I serve the Most High?
I didn't hear that. I did not hear it.
I ain't your friend to be joking. We not going to do no joking like that. No.
No.
And he wasn't talking about doing stuff with me. He and this other guy, I don't know what you think black means. That you think black men, you go straight to vulgarity?
Mm-mm.
Now I'm going to let you hear some righteousness and some holiness.
Mm.
And I made sure before I left, I told him again, I said, I serve the Most High. I don't do everything. That's why they pay me what they pay me. I said, because I come to do work for God, and it's about pleasing him. And I, okay.
Oh, Lord. You were leaving some breadcrumbs for you, Hansel and Gretel.
It's the same thing that you do whenever I'm around different ones and they come in with that joking, talking stuff about girls. You got to find you another old man with white hair. They can that'll do that with you, but I'm not the one. I don't even necessarily say I find it offensive. I find it unrighteous.
Very.
Other people can have offenses.
Mm-hmm.
I find that this is you trying to move me from my steadfastness. To make you feel acceptable, or me acceptable to you, and what I'm gonna get?
Wow, disease.
A blight? I don't need a daggum blight causing you. It ain't even worth it. Not even a sandwich. In the words of Gary Merritt, now?
Lord have mercy. Good grief.
You don't ever be around men and they start going into their folly. Like they just automatically assume this is what we're gonna do.
It's just not just men. Every now and then, students just start talking. Every now and then, it's rare. I think right now there's still, for the most part, some kind of like, I guess, I don't know. They say, okay, this is a teacher or whatever, but it ain't staying that way for long. It's coming down a little bit. So
yeah.
Not as much as probably what you hear. What?
Any modicum of respect that a teacher has, I think they're going to try to kill it itself for the respect of propagandizing those children to do what they want them to do. But any modicum of respect when it comes to ethics that's against their will, that will be something that can be written up to give you a strike against you. And if you're not going to stand strong for God, you're a coward down to anything. And you won't ever get to see the glory of God in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
Freak him.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to shut you up.
I'm just like.
Gary, you're in the midst of war, baby boy, okay? You're in the midst of war. Always know they fighting. Yeah. They don't rest. It's a lot of them against the one of you. But the one of you should have somebody inside of you that will both will and do his good flesh.
Yes, that's good. That's good.
He told Jeremiah he'd make him a defense city.
Ooh,
a city, an iron pillar, a brazen wall. He's getting ready to besiege Jerusalem. He's getting ready to besiege Judah with Jeremiah. He's going to block him in with his words. He's going to block him in. You can't get out. You can't get away with it. By the time you get to the eighth chapter, it's like, We bad off. I mean, all of this has happened. The summer is past. The winter. How does it say the
harvest is ended,
and we're not saved. Isn't he here? Is there no balm in get? Yes. Your words are the balm, but they refuse it. They don't want to hear it. Mm-hmm. They don't receive the love of the truth. They don't want to receive. And now you besieged. You blocked in by the words because you've heard them. You can't get out. You either bow down or perish. That's spiritual, but you're going to, if you don't listen to me in the spirit, I will besiege you physically. I will bring those nations from the north. Have some humility in you. Bow down to these words, but they refuse to do it.
Yeah. Well,
so the next time, you know, when you feel like you just starting, unless you got to go to the bathroom or.
Oh, you made me think of that pearl I was talking about. I was like, "Talking about a pearl." Oh my
goodness. You better keep going until it's like, okay, that's it. Because I was like, he's stopping. What time is it? Like, you were just getting started. Anyway, it was good though. I wanted more.
It did seem like talking. I just started it, you know. I could, my words weren't coming out like I exactly wanted them to, but I'm like, you know, it's still God's word. So we pick back up with this, because I mean, he's gonna be saying the same thing the whole time. So
I like too how you brought out to how he came and appeared in person. You know, and this is not some vision, you know, or some what they call it, an epiphany. This is what they call Jesus said he a ghost. They thought he was a ghost, but it wasn't that. He appeared just the way he appeared to Joshua, just the way he came and took Abraham up to the top and showed him, you know, just the way he wrestled with Jacob. He appears.
He do it.
So, anyway, well, I like
your husband helped me see that years ago, because I used to think, it used to just read strangely to me. I'm like, what? It's like, what does this mean? I'm like, I'm missing something. You know, like it came to work. I would see something like, so it's like a scroll floating in the air. I'm like, what is
that? Just words in the air like a bubble. You know, a word bubble.
That's what I read when I first read it.
It's like, it says appeared. Okay. You know, and it's like, oh. So, like in a dream? No, don't say he was asleep.
I think it has
Go ahead.
Even more meaning when Jesus says the scriptures testify of him. You know what? How he would come and what the gospel. You know, even they don't want to call it gospel. What it is? Who is it? Let's put it that. Who is the gospel? Mm-hmm. You know.
He said he. I don't talk to Moses like that. I speak to him face to face.
Yeah, and you gonna talk trash to him?
You weren't scared. You ain't scared.
You ain't scared.
For real. You didn't
even tremble.
You weren't scared? Oh. When I first read that, I was like, wow. You weren't scared of me? Oh, you should have been.
It's one thing that Moses said.
Yeah.
It's another thing whenever, come out here, boy.
You weren't afraid.
Bring that girl out here, too. We need to, can we talk?
Can we talk?
And it's way before John Rivers. Okay.
And Tammy Campbell.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Oh, my goodness.
Strong in God's word. And when you say something against me, God bless your thinking tail or he break your heart. One of the two. I want people to be condemned all the way to hell and with extra punishment and damnation in hell. Or that they are free from the shackles of sin to help free somebody else. Why would I want to be neutral? Water's not even neutral when you drink it if you're debilitated. But it's not neutral if you're under and it's in your lungs. It just depends on where the water is, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be just saying God's word, and it's just like a lovely dadgum song. Well, y'all thought Ezekiel's words were like a lovely song, and then he come burning down the house.
That's right.
And I want my word to be like that, Mr. Ungodly. I want it to be gracious when it's gracious. I want it to be sharp when sharp. Even if I don't say it sharp, I just want him to be able to just let me be the trumpet and you mash the little buttons on me when you want to and let your ruach go through and say what it needs to say. I don't even care if my mouth don't want to say it.
Oh.
But I'm going to quit talking because Gary probably got some more good stuff.
No, it's going to be continued, Lord. It's going to be continued.
Maybe if he get to teaching Jeremiah, he might can talk somebody in Gainesville at a church that he used to frequently let him teach it. It'd be so nice. Like somebody stuck a sock in Gary's mouth.
I couldn't see it, but I mean that you said it, I'm like, I mean, that's really not what it was. I was just like, would there even be a possibility for that? You know?
With God, all things are possible. With man.
I'm about to say, because I thought it made a whole lot of sense to have you teaching, but I'm like, you saw what happened.
That was a smart move, though, Gary, because I would not have been teaching him being the president-elect and the president pro tem and the president and God, and I'd have been emphasizing God, and somewhere along the line, folks on that say, look, this is what the Bible says. I mean, I was like that then. This guy, because they were talking about beards, I said, the Bible says. The Bible says. By the time you start saying everything somebody else wants you to say, you don't have a foundation. You might well get a pair of panties and be transgender, as they call it.
My goodness.
That's how I feel. I ain't your woman, I'm God's man. Then you used to hear me say, you all emasculate men. I mean,
yes.
You can control a man and make a man afraid Make a man afraid to stand for right. Make a man buckle to what you say. Make a man buckle to your emotions. You might as well emasculate him. I don't care if it's in the government. I don't care if it's in the job. I don't care if it's in the home. I don't care if it's in the car, cat in the street. That, sometimes they even call men by feminine names so that they can embarrass them or make them do what they want to. You ain't nothing. You just a little sissy. Mm. And you manipulate them to respond. No. That's why some black guys go for bold and they try to even get into fights and cut people. Because you have made them feel so bad, it's like, I got to prove I'm not. Anyway, that's another issue. That's another story. Praise the Lord. Thank you for the lesson. And Andrina, he closed us out with you.
Good night, everybody.
Love you all. All right. Well, good night. Thank you all for calling in and your comments. And Lord, when we pick back up in chapter 2 on the next Tuesday. All right. We love y'all.
Love you too. Bye-bye.
All right. Good night.
Good night.